Hey, it's Norm McIver, and you're listening to Tim and Graham on the 610 Podcast.
Welcome back to the Sixth Sense Podcast. Tim and Graham coming to you from the CKCU studios here in Ottawa, Ontario. Tim, welcome back, man. You've been gone for a week. You've missed some minor moves.
Yeah, my brain's mush from vacation, but back and ready to roll today on a very special show. Had to make some travel arrangements to get back in time for this one, but I wouldn't miss this for the world.
So, Don Brennan, the prophet of the offseason, recommended that the Senators, well, no, actually, it was Tim Baines who suggested it, but it actually came to fruition. Zdeněk Konopka is now an Ottawa Senator. How do you feel about that?
I was gathered around a table having a few drinks with some friends when we got word of this on some sketchy Wi-Fi, and there was a collective sigh, and followed by some anger, and then some laughter. And right now, I think I'm still in the laughter phase. I have no idea how this actually happened. Obviously, this team next year is going to be a little bit different than we thought it was going to be. It's not exactly going to be the speediest, most talented group of individuals, but apparently Paul McLean was very high on bringing Konopka into the organization, so I guess they got their man, but it looks like there's a huge glut of third and fourth line players now, even more.
Well, surprise, surprise. And Zach Smith, I was kind of surprised more so because I thought Zach Smith, now that he had signed his one-year contract, that he would probably see a little bit of a larger role. So now I don't really know who kind of slides into the third-line center spot, whether it's going to be a guy like Smith or a Jesse Winchester, who's a good face-off man in his own right. And it's going to be interesting to see how training camp shakes out.
But does Jesse Winchester, not to get into this too much right now, but does Winchester have the offensive abilities to play third-line minutes? I mean, he's an excellent fourth-line energy guy, but I just don't see him being productive enough in the offensive zone to warrant third-line center minutes. And he's not exactly Mr. Playmaker. I don't think he's going to, you know, really heighten the development of guys like, I don't know, I could see Eric Condra playing down there on the third line with him, or Pete Regan, depending on where he shakes out.
Do you think Nick Foligno possibly gets a look as the third-line center?
I'm not sure. That's an interesting...
Because I kind of assumed... Well, actually, if you look past Jason Spezza, you look at the second, third, and fourth lines, you figure Konopka's the fourth. And then for the second and third, you're not entirely sure how or who will be given the opportunity and first dibs on those two positions. Because that's probably the biggest debate moving forward. Because I think Brian Murray said himself in a recent interview that after the Konopka signing, he's essentially done.
Yep. And if this was fall of 2010, we'd be penciling Peter Regan in to play second-line center on this team right now. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, he's a terrible face-off guy too, right? Yep. Like, that guy was hovering at around 40, 41%. So hopefully he'll be able to recoup some value if he's actually given top 6 minutes, and the opportunity to play with some skilled players like Daniel Alfredson is hopefully returning off his injury. And Filatov. Mahalik is healthy as well. So
Bob Butler had...
There's some interesting pieces. It's just a matter of, can everything kind of come together and gel? And I don't want to be skeptical about it, but that's one of the concerns heading into camp. So it's going to be interesting to watch. And if Mika Zibanejad comes into the picture as well, has a strong camp, is he a great option to start the year, even in possibly a second, third line center?
I see him. If he makes the team for whatever reason, then I would like to see the Senators insulate him a little bit more and have him play Tyler Seguin-type role on the team. Maybe he's not playing every day, getting used to the rigors of NHL life, you know, playing third-line minutes alongside. Even a guy like Nick Foligno would be, I would consider to be an excellent complementary piece to Zibanejad based on the way he plays. And that's ideally what I'd like to see shake down. But right now, there's a lot of holes, and there aren't exactly a lot of pegs that are going to fit perfectly in there.
I suppose if you're going to look at the Konopka signing, though, that gives them, it affords them the opportunity to, you know, not to rush guys like Zibanejad or a Silverberg, who's already said, yeah, I'm going to go back to the Swedish Elite League next year.
The other thing I thought was really interesting about Konopka is the effect that it's going to have on the defensive pairings, actually. Does this make a guy like Matt Karkner expendable?
I kind of thought Karkner could be expendable before the signing, and obviously Konopka's ability to drop the gloves regularly kind of makes Karkner a little bit more expendable in that regard.
Especially when you consider the way the NHL's going, considering the role of the goon being diminished so much. Even, you know, fringe middleweights like Kanopka and Chris Neal and Zach Smith, if you even want to include Smith in that category, are there even going to be enough guys on the other team to fight in all these situations? I don't know. Like, you got to assume some of these guys are going to be healthy. Like, Karkner's going to be a healthy scratch more often than not.
Looking at the signing, though, I wanted to ask you this, because a lot of people have said on the interwebs that signing a guy like Kanopka essentially protects your young players on this team. But I look at this team's roster right now, and all the young players on this team are like third and fourth line grinders. Obviously, you'll have a guy like a Cow and David Rundblad and Erik Karlsson in the mix. But looking back at Karlsson's first 2 years within this organization, I haven't been like, hey, those guys are taking liberties with Erik Karlsson. Someone's got to step in for him. That's never happened. So it's weird to hear people make that argument.
I'm trying to think of times when I've seen Karlsson get run over, and all I can think of is Matt Cook, and that wasn't even a clean hit. And, of course, that's no stranger to Matt Cook and his repertoire of moves in the NHL. So I'm not really sure how a presence like Karkner or Chris Neal, who are on the team at this point, could in any way deter players like Matt Cook from hitting players like Karlsson from behind. But, no, he's able to evade the hits. A lot of the skilled guys are incredibly fast, and that's going to pay huge dividends in terms of these guys not getting rocked at center ice with their head down. I heard Kanopka is going to be killing penalties. Is he going to be our new Chris Kelly? Is he the smartest enforcer in hockey?
If you have Zach Smith, Kanopka, guys like Karkner in the lineup, the penalty killing on this team is going to develop. You're going to, you know, for the better development of the young kids playing specialty minutes, it's going to be substantial. So it's, at least if this team's not winning next year, at least you'll get to see some Donnybrooks.
Yep, it's going to be interesting. We're going to have, because Eric Condra got some PK time at the end of last year. He looked quite comfortable out there. He's obviously has the mental capacity to play there.
And he just signed, I believe it's a one-way contract himself. So there are a glut of third and fourth line players on this team. So it's going to be interesting to see how the jobs and camps shake out. And now would probably be a fitting time to go to our guest.
Absolutely.
So you want to bring him on?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. When we get back, we'll be joined by Mika Zibanejad. Stay tuned.
All right, Senators fans, today we are joined by a very special guest, the Senators' first selection in the 2011 entry draft, number 6 overall, Mika Zibanejad. Mika, welcome to the Sixth Sense podcast. How are you today?
Thank you very much. I'm really good. How about you?
Not too bad, thanks.
Yeah, not too bad. I'm in the air conditioning. I'm happy. So we understand you just got back from vacation. How was it? And if you don't mind telling us, where'd you go?
Actually, I was in the Bahamas, so it was pretty nice. Like I said before, it was it's been a lot the past 2 months, so to get away to rest and let your body rest, it was really good for me, and I feel that makes me even better and maybe helps me be more ready to when the season starts.
Yeah, it's probably kind of been like a little bit of a whirlwind for you since the time of the draft. Going back before the draft, Ottawa brought you into town to interview you personally, as well as a few other prospects. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your first impressions with the city and the organization during that time.
After I left the city and I went to other places, it was, I left with a feeling that this is a town I want to play, and if and I wouldn't be sad if they picked me. So, to meet Alfie, to meet other guys too in the team, to just talk to them and get to know the city and the team better, and the whole organization was really good for me. And I left, I really liked it.
Mika, so part of the interview process was dinner at Daniel Alfredson's house. How was that? What did you have for dinner there? And did he do the dishes?
Actually, we were not at his house. We were out for dinner, so he didn't have to do it too much. Just talk about the organization and, around the team, around the city, about the fans. So, obviously, it was really nice to see him and to meet him as a person, you heard so much good about him. to get to see your one of your role models from when you were a kid and someone you look up to, it was unreal in the beginning, and I think that affected me, and the feeling that I wanted to come to Ottawa even more. So obviously it was, I really enjoyed it.
Looking back at the draft, in retrospect, we've heard a number of prospects like Stefan Nason and Matt Pumple kind of know when it was their time to be picked. They kind of had a feeling that Ottawa was going to pick him. Did you ever have that feeling when Ottawa was coming up to the podium at six?
Obviously, they brought me in for the invite because they liked me and they were interested. But, you know, there were so many good players available at that time. And, you know, I was hoping for maybe top 10 to top 15 to land somewhere there. And but somewhere inside, I really wanted them to pick me, and when that happened, it was like a crazy feeling. You know, it was a relieving feeling. You know, to get drafted by the team you wanted. So it's still unreal. You really have to be there to kind of know what it's all about. So
some people who were there with you were your family in attendance when they heard your name called. What did they say to you after you had been selected, and what did you guys do that night to celebrate?
Actually, they knew that I wanted to go to Ottawa, so they were really happy for me, and the most of the things was congratulations, and now you got the team that you wanted. And you know, obviously, we didn't do too much. I was so tired after the week, but we went out for dinner, and that was pretty much it, actually. I had to go to the day two of the draft, so I went to sleep with a smile, and I woke up with a smile, so that was pretty much it.
Perfect day. Mika, I just want to ask you, after a lot of the prospects get selected, they're taken immediately for a photo opportunity. Is that awkward at all when guys are telling you to pose in a number of different ways, and you have to get those looks down?
Well, you know, it's something that comes with that you get drafted. So obviously, I was a little bit prepared for it, and you know, I enjoy it. It was nothing that I was embarrassed of or anything. You know, I was so happy at the moment. So I was doing whatever they told me to do. So
let's get to the development camp here. Your most recent taste of Senators hockey. Randy Lee said that this year's development camp had the best collection of talent that he's seen out of any development camp in years past. How would you evaluate the talent that you saw on the ice at the camp this year?
It was really, really good. I was really good players. You know, it was different kind of roles. You have the really skilled guy, you have the really powerful skating guy, you have the big and strong guy. This obviously was a really good mix, and I think that the camp developed and helped many players to develop even more, to you know, to get a taste of every kind of player and play against them. And you know, it's I think that would be a really good experience for all the guys who were at the camp. And I think I haven't been there. That was my first time at development camp, obviously, so I can't like compare it to other camps. But if Randy says so, obviously so. And from my point of view, it was a really good camp and really high class, so I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll take Randy's word for it too, and we've seen a few of them in years past. But was there any player on the ice who really impressed you?
You know, most of the guys really impressed me. You know, I didn't have too much, you know, expectations. I didn't know what players really were gonna be at the camp, and so whatever. So you know, I got really impressed by obviously the Swedes. I've seen them play, and so but then the two other second first rounder Pumple and Nosen, I haven't seen them too much, and obviously the guys from Binghamton too, Mike Hoffman was that. But like I said, I was pretty much impressed of all of the guys. Like I said before, it was a good mix of powerful skating and different kind of player types. So
in camp, you had half a tooth knocked out of your mouth. No big deal for you, right? Like, you're used to the physical stuff.
Well, you know, it was actually my first real game with Visor, and ended up with losing half of my tooth. But you know, that's a part of the hockey, and just, you know, it's nothing you can do about it. It's fun to experience that kind of thing too. And you know what it feels like now, so you're not getting any surprise when you lose maybe another teeth. So it was nothing special, obviously, but I felt a little weird in the beginning, but it's okay now, I guess.
Definitely not a big deal, and it's definitely good to get out of the way early. All right. At the end of the development camp, did the organization give you any objectives or goals for over the summer?
Yeah, you know, I think every guy had a 5 or 10 minute meeting with Randy, with Schwartz, with Pierre, and then you had a meeting with Mark, skating coach. So he got feedback and. You get something, you got like goals and stuff to, you know, try to work with and try to reach to the camp or to next year. So obviously you got like a few things that you had to work with during the summer. So obviously it was, that was pretty much it, but that was really good feedback, and we understand, and we both know from both parts what I have to work with and what my goals are for this summer. So
I wanted to hit on some comments made by a fellow prospect, Jakob Silfverberg, concerning whether or not he's willing to come over next season. He essentially said that he would prefer to go back to the Swedish Elite League for another season so he could get stronger and refine his game. How would you feel about the possibility of yourself playing in Ottawa next season?
You know, it's a hard question, and it's a hard decision to make, but, you know, it's... I want to get to the NHL as soon as possible, but I, at the same time, I want to feel that I'm ready for it. And I think if I can work with the details and, you know, get bigger and stronger this summer to, you know, to give myself an honest chance at the camp and at the rookie camp and maybe make it to the May camp and maybe, you know, try to earn a spot. You know, it's something that I want to do, but. Obviously, to go back to Sweden is not a. I think that's the second best league in the world. So, to play there one more year to get bigger and stronger, to really find your game and really work with the details that maybe Ottawa wants to want me to improve and develop to take my game to the next level. So obviously. Depends on how everything works out this summer and at the camp. So,
yeah, I think the fans are interested because they want to see you in a Sens jersey as quick as possible. But can you maybe tell me a little bit about what kind of contractual obligations you may have with your contract with Djurgården? Like, are you allowed to play in the NHL if you don't have an NHL contract before a certain date?
Actually, I haven't much clue about it. This whole situation, so I'd rather not say too much because I don't know really what the agreements say. So obviously I'll let my agent and Ottawa and Djurgården to speak about that part. But so actually I have no clue at all.
That's fine. That's okay.
Yep, that's why we asked. I have no clue either.
Mika, usually when we have guests on, we get into a little bit of quick hits where we'll give you a quick question and then you're just supposed to give us like the first thing that comes to mind. Do you want to do that for a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, first question. What kind of line mates do you prefer playing with?
One hard worker, you know, to get the puck back and work hard. And then maybe like an all-around guy who can score and who can pass, so.
When you're playing in the Swedish Elite League, what is your favorite Swedish Elite League tradition that the fans do?
We have a really good atmosphere, so obviously when the fans are going crazy, so that has to be it.
What is your favorite way to relax away from the hockey rink?
Maybe just hang around with my friends, maybe go out for a coffee or something just to get away from the arena and the rink and not to think about hockey too much. So.
And how do you take your coffee? Do you take it with milk, cream, cappuccino, espresso?
Actually, with milk. So I drink too much coffee, but...
You'll fit in fine in Canada, then.
Mika, if you weren't a hockey player, what would you be?
Tennis player.
Oh, easy. All right. Graham, last one. All you.
Oh, you want me to do this? Have you grown tired of hearing all about the number of Swedish prospects in Ottawa's system?
No, actually, no.
No? We thought you, Tim and I thought coming into this interview that you would have been like so sick and tired of just having that question posed to you by different members of the media. So we just kind of tried to shy away from that. So.
No, it's maybe fun now in the beginning, but after 15, 16 years with all the kind of stuff, maybe tired, but.
All right, well, last question.
Also now.
All right, we'll ask again in 10 years.
That would be a great idea.
Mika, final question before you go. Pierre Dorion mentioned you were a real student of the game and that you knew which players wore which numbers on the Senators. So Tim and I just wanted to ask you, we'll give you a few numbers and see if you can correspond the player to the numbers. How does that sound?
Okay. At least give it a try.
Okay. All right, number 19.
Spezza.
Number 4.
Philip.
39.
Karkner.
3 for 3.
All right. Mika, thanks a lot for taking the time
thank
to come
you.
On the program.
My pleasure.
After the after your vacation. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We really appreciate that.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of the summer, and hopefully you have a good camp in September.
Fantastic having another Senators first round pick on the show.
What a polite, well spoken guy, eh? Said all the right things. That's a real highlight of doing this podcast, being able to have him on the show.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. No, nice way to cap off a weekend for us, for sure. One of the things I did want to hit on that we didn't really hit on in the first half, though, was Alex Auld resigned. The Bald Wonder.
How long ago was he here? 2 years ago?
Yeah. He was here for what? The Gerber era, I believe?
Yeah. Yeah. That was.
Because then Elliott came in to back up LeClaire, obviously. Right away, like, I'm kind of ambivalent towards the whole thing because he's returning and he's just a stopgap guy. But, like, obviously, if you're looking at our blog for the past, I don't know, a couple weeks, we're kind of, like, pimping Ottawa signing perhaps, like, a younger goaltender, backup goaltender, who possibly had a little bit more upside. And in the event that Anderson actually had to go down, this prospect or this young player would be able to step in, hopefully thrive, and then Ottawa might be able to, like, parlay that for a future asset down the road. But... now that all has come in, how do you feel about that?
Looks like they went for maybe a more veteran presence, good locker room guy. Obviously, he was a good enough guy in the locker room to bring back. Probably understands his role quite well. It'll be interesting to see what happens if Anderson misses any time whatsoever. What happens with Robin Lehner? I guess that'll depend on the nature of his injury or whatever else. I guess we can get into the what ifs, if and when they may happen.
But
I feel like he would be a guy who would, the Senators would be okay asking to step back and let Robin play a couple games. I'm sure we'll see Alex Auld play maybe, what, 10 to 20 games this year as is.
Sit there, collect a paycheck. Hopefully Rob gets into games. Well, even, who was it, Tim Murray or Pierre Dorion last year, who said they'd still want to see Lehner get into, like, what, 5, 10 games this season?
Yeah.
So that kind of fits with their motives for the offseason. But I suppose he's a returning figure. Suppose he was well-liked. So it's hard to complain. You know what you get.
Yeah. You can't really argue about it too much.
No, exactly. And, yeah, so anything else you want to hit on before we go? Or
no, I'm just happy that for once the goaltending conversation on this show is limited to about, 3 minutes there. So that's pretty good. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, no, can't complain at all. But, Tim, been a pleasure, man.
Absolutely.
Let's get out of here.
Mika, thank you very much again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you very much. And, Tim, thanks again for coming in. Nice to see you. Thanks for leaving your vacation, too.
Absolutely. Had done some time.
All right. Thanks, listeners. Hopefully we'll catch you soon.
Next week?
Sure. Is anything going to happen next week? Probably not. We'll probably take a few weeks off.
Yep. Okay. Let's do that then.
Perfect. Good way to send us out. All right. Take care, listeners. Talk to you soon.